Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League.
Get ready for it. What are we having faith in? What are we having faith in that we're actually going to get a Rugby League World Cup?
The theme was that, yes, unfortunately, as it stands, the World Cup for Rugby League has been postponed this year. But have faith. It looks like it should go ahead next year, but we'll just have to wait and see. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. God, I hope it goes ahead. They'll probably end up changing it here. I don't know what you think, but it's a possibility.
There's a real possibility, I guess, of it's a cancellation again or a postponement again. But as of this point in time, because of the pullout from Australia and New Zealand. But, you know, as much as you don't want to say, but it's the two biggest rugby league nations. And like you messaged me earlier today, was anybody going to watch it? Like you've got to have Australia and New Zealand there. You just do.
It's like anything, like USA in basketball. Like, you know, if they just do, we'll go back to the old days where they just send college players. Not many people would watch that compared to what they have now. And that's just a fact. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
We'll get into the games of round 20. First game was in my neck of the woods, Mackay, actually, the Roosters and the Eels on it was a pretty warm Thursday night, actually.
Decent crowd there.
Yeah, well, I mean, for what they could fit for the week they had, they didn't have any scaffolding, but there's also, by the looks of it, it was a crowd just under 5,000, 4,926. But if I'm looking at it correctly, I'm assuming they had that 75% COVID rule in place because the hill.
Wow, really?
Well, I reckon you could probably fit another 500,000 on the hill. It just looked patchy. And it sold out. So I'm assuming that was the case. But Roosters just 28-0. It was a weird game because, excuse me, it just didn't start for both sides. It started terribly. Really,
it just didn't look like any team could sort of settle down a little bit and just sort of get in and you know, as much as you hate to say it, like, you know, that everybody said just play some footy. Do you know what I mean? Like, it the first team to really settle in. Was going to take advantages in this game and no team could sort of get into any rhythm. You know, in that first 15 minutes, there was 9 errors and 6
yes.
by the Roosters.
Yes.
So it was just a drop-a-thon to start off with. And then all of a sudden it just sparked into action and the Roosters go bang, bang, 2 tries, you know, basically back to back. And they sort of spring into action and it was just like, all right, well there we go. That's all we needed.
I think they just had to get the jitters out for the first 20 play teams because apparently of what I heard, and I believe this is true, they went from the airport straight to the Leeds club in an own separate area with TVs full of just to watch the Olympics, then to the stadium, then to the hotel, back to the airport, then out. So they probably just had to get the, you know,
Well, and that's the thing too. The stadium's not that far from the airport, so like.
Oh no, it's a perfect spot. I mean, it was kind of good that the first try wasn't till 24 minutes because it'd be around out of 20 minutes at the Mackay Stadium, but that's a whole different story. 20 minutes would have gone to be a. Anyway, it once like you're right. Once they got those sort of 2 quick tries, I thought they'd sort of, well, at least I thought it would wake up the Eels, and the Eels just didn't, I don't know, they come across like, they had flashes, like Clint Gutherson and that, and like, well, it seemed to be only him, because the rest is just sort of, there was no real go for it. I'd hate to pinpoint it, but I thought their Arthur, he's only young, but Jake Arthur wasn't, he's probably just settling in, you know what I mean? Like, he just didn't have that spark, that Mitchell Moses spark.
Oh, look, no, that's right, and not many players do. He's a representative player now, and we've all known the class of Mitchell Moses and how good he is, but this the second week in a row now that Parramatta have looked extremely disjointed in attack. But look, and they're also frustrated a lot too, because the Roosters' defence, especially on their try line, was rock solid. Like, you can't fault them for not cracking, you know, under the pressure, albeit not really the greatest, you know, of attacking line pressure. But yeah, like you said, that they really miss Moses. They miss his creativity. They miss his control of a game. And that was just sorely, sorely lacking in game management in this game. And once, you know, once the Roosters really started to pile it on, you could just see the frustration just really starting to beam out. I think Gutherson had some choice words to say after there was a penalty given away, and he sort of let out a few expletive deleteds, shall we say, that the live microphones would have picked up. But
live microphones, you had just had to be there, you could hear it in the corner. Yeah, he Jesus Christ, it was loud enough, at least for the one of them. The second one, yeah.
Like, oh yeah, no, it was I think the message was crystal clear. The message that he was that Gutherson was trying to get across, yeah, very, very crystal clear.
Or that try by that try by Sam Walker. Like, obviously it's the first time I've seen him live. I guess most of these Roosters players live. But God, that was slick. That sort of dummy.
He's
as good as, obviously, on TV as he is live. Like, 18-year-old, he will be due to Queensland. It's ridiculous.
As good as advertised.
He was good as advertised. The other person that stood out was, I mean, purely because of, he just had to have free reign, was Joey Manu. He was one of their
guys. Oh, yeah.
Got that. He didn't look like he did much, but he had those sort of big, deep runs out of the line, but they're like deep.
He's just classy, and that try at the end, extremely opportunistic with the, you know, with the quick tap, and then just running straight through the guts of everybody, and everybody was very, very critical of Reed Marnie sort of, you know, basically turning his head and sort of dropping, you know, just sort of dropping his bundle, so to speak, and he just ran straight through the gap that he would have filled, you know, on a quick tap, and that play actually scored my multi to come through. So I was rather happy with Joey Manu scoring a try right at the end, because I would have been very, very disappointing and waiting with bated breath at the end of this game if he didn't score. But I was pretty happy with that. But look, Jared Rhea Hargraves' 250th game as well.
The ref called, like we said, penalty. He called the
That's right.
Joey Manu did nothing wrong.
No, absolutely not. And all the referees got to do is blow his whistle 1,000 times and get everyone to pull up. Like, it's not that hard to pull the game back. But JWH gets his 250th. Like, this was it. There was a lot of stuff in this game. Like, yeah, he was big again. He's been massive the last month or 5 weeks. The Roosters lose another outside back in Josh Morris going down. Yeah. With a hamstring injury, and they've actually their hand has been forced to bring in Dale Copley as a replacement for them, so they'll have him for the rest of the season. And I don't know if you watched the replay of the game, but on TV it didn't look very good, and that was Blake Ferguson's, looked like it was about a 6-inch gash on top of his head when he went down and just collided with Drew Hutchison's knee, and it just opened up straight away and just pissed blood everywhere. It's like, holy moly. like that. And then when they washed it and he was going off and they took the towel away from it, you're like, oh my God, that is massive.
I didn't see the replay, but I've seen about five or six towels that was accompanying him coming off the field with everybody else. You couldn't, it's funny.
They protected
it pretty well. I was more concerned, I mean, obviously that, but Regan Campbell-Gillan didn't look too good when he was coming off. He looked terrible.
No, that's right.
I don't know what come of it. I didn't sort of look into that one, but he looked...
That's a big loss.
Very, very ordinary coming off. So, I don't know.
Loss for them.
Are they doing it again?
Look, once they get Moses back, which he should be back next week, I think they'll look a lot better. But in saying that as well, if they're missing out in a little bit of go forward there with Campbell-Gillard missing for a couple of weeks at least by the looks of it, so that will sort of hinder them a little bit going forward. But they're just starting to dip out at the wrong time of the season again. Yeah. They're fading away. You know, they had the hot start last year. It's happening again, but hopefully they can sort of right the ship, so to speak, and sort of get this, not so much this season back on track, but just get a little bit of confidence with Moses being back and just a little bit of fluidity with attack, because it just hasn't been there as of late.
My theory with the Eels, before we just move on, I know we spent a lot on this game, but it was, like you said, it was a fair bit in this game. My theory on the Eels is they don't have a real match winner. And when I mean match winner, okay, at the start of the year is fine, and you can sort of have certain games where you can sort of win because there's cohesion and every other team's trying to get cohesion together. But a match winner can finish, or a finisher, finish games each and every game, or if you're in it, or mostly in the games. They don't really have that.
What's mean? Yeah, they don't. They don't have a Tedesco. They don't have a Kalen Ponga. Do you know what I mean? Like, just in that sort of, they don't have a Pappenhausen.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they have.
And that's not to discredit Clint Gutherson too. Like, Clint Gutherson is an extremely good fullback, but he's I don't think he's quite there as that upper echelon, type playmaker and like you said, deal clincher.
Well, but this is to me where if he is going to ascend, that's where that Mitchell Moses sort of comes in. But,
well, that's right. And he's been validated now with an Origin selection. So you'd hope that when he comes back next week, that he'll be full of confidence and coming off the back of that Origin, that Origin selection. And I think it can only do him good.
I agree. No, I totally agree. Next game was the Warriors beating the Tigers, even though I had this completely wrong, 18-16. I clearly didn't look at this correctly. I thought Adam Dewey could kick a goal at the end, but clearly that wasn't the case.
No, that would be incorrect.
That would clearly be incorrect. what do you think of the game? My God.
Look, to say that the Tigers let this game slip away, I think is a very gross understatement. I thought the Warriors sort of held out fairly well in that first half, and for them to only be down 10-0 at the half, especially with the amount of possession that the Tigers had to start this game, it did even up by the end of it. I think it ended up being a 50-50 share of possession, but the amount of possession that the Tigers had, especially in that first half, they really should have been a lot more in front. And again, it's a credit to how the Warriors play at the moment. They obviously had the down week last week, but they've showed plenty of ticker over the last few weeks, and not letting scoreline sort of balloon out of control. And they just needed to sort of stay in the grind of this game and started off the second half brilliantly and it generally it all comes back in the wash. so to speak, when possession starts to even up.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I thought this game played out exactly where these teams are on the table, if that makes sort of sense, because, you know, basically after that sort of 60 minutes, that was it. There was no more points on offer for the last 20 minutes. So
that's right.
That's just simple attacking. And they both tried, but there was just, there was no real.
I guess a lack of class, I guess, in this game.
You're right. That's how it, I mean, there is class players, but a lot of those class players are still young too.
That's right.
Reece Walsh is, even if I throw Dane Laurie in there, he's still pretty young too. So
exactly. Yeah. And he got hurt in this game too, and that is just a bitter, cruel blow for the Tigers. So he's probably been, him along with Adam Dewey, have been their best pretty much all year. And for him to sort of go down, I think it's a fractured leg that he's got. That's a bit of a blow for them. It's a good thing they sort of got guys like Moses Mbai and Adam Dewey, who can sort of shift around in that back line to sort of take up the slack a little bit. Look, I also thought Kemba Marlow was really good in this game as well, probably his best game as a Tiger. He had 21 hit-ups, 200 plus meters, and did a lot of hard work and a lot of the hard stuff up the middle, you know, trying to get the Tigers out of their own end and them really tough carries. And I thought that, you know, that sort of went a long way in this game being as close as what it was.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I thought the same thing. I think that both teams are built for the future, if that sort of makes sense. I think, I don't know, like, for much as the shit the Tigers get, I don't know, I think, you know, yes, they lost, but I think they're going in the right direction.
I mean, they are, and now they've got the past mastermind, so to speak, back associated with the club in Tim Sheen. So I think that they're trying to rekindle that magic, I guess, that that they had in the mid 2000s, where, you know, they sort of had a premiership in 2005, you know, basically out of nowhere, really, you know, with a young Benji Marshall and a young Robbie Farah. So it's just one of those things where they're not without trying. Do you know what I mean? They're definitely not just, you know, just sitting in purgatory, idling along. They're trying stuff, and they've got a good coach in Maguire. Just that they don't have that sort of group of players there, that are going to get them over the line more often than not.
I like that they're, because clearly it's Bulldogs sort of year in terms of recruitment, that then they haven't, you know, they could have paid, you know, they're going to pay overs to get players. But
they will anyway.
But you're right. But if they were going to go against Bulldogs this year and paying overs to get players, it would have made it worse for them. But I'm glad they sort of stepped back, wait to see what happens next year instead of see who's on offer next year and sort of trying to compete with the Bulldogs in terms of, you know, paying overs, but overs.
That's true. It's probably going to be a whiff for them. Do you know what I mean? In sort of signing any big recruits, but they've just got to wait until the off season and just continue to try and build a good roster. And the same with the Warriors. And, you know, they Peter Hicku had come back in this game. We haven't seen him for a while, and he slotted into the halves, which I thought was an odd move by Nathan Brown, to have Cody Nikorima off the bench again. I think that's a very odd move. Like he's one of your better players, and I think he's a lot more effective than some of the guys that he's got out there. I just thought that was an odd move, and he played like 48, 49 minutes in this game, and he just needs to be out there for the 80 minutes. Like he's a creative player. He's fast out of dummy half. He just needs to be out there.
I totally agree with that. And I was just sort of moving in the next game of the Cowboys-Broncos. I thought the Broncos crowd was like about 29,000 and the Warriors-Tigers one was just over 12,000. So I thought, I don't know how they did the ticketing and all that, but I thought they might get it sort of a bit more close to sort of, I mean, you know, Broncos Cowboys is Broncos Cowboys. I'm not saying you're going to get the same amount of people, but it would have been good to at least sort of get, you know, over 15,000 or something. So.
I guess so. But, you know, it is what it is. Everyone's coming in for the feature presentation. So, look, and that's kind of down on a lot of years as well. Like, usually they get a hell of a lot more than 29,000 for a Broncos-Cowboys game. But I think that's just a result of how Brisbane and I guess how North Queensland have been performing, you know, fairly ordinarily in the last 8 weeks or so. So, you know, Brisbane have been a little bit better than what North Queensland have. You know, they've lost 6 on the trot now. They've lost 7 on the trot. And just, again, just sort of a lack of, with North Queensland, just a lack of you know, defensive steel again, and a lack of resolve.
The score was 37-18 to the Broncos. You're right. That's their seventh loss in a row. That's Tom Dillon hasn't won a game since he's been there, unfortunately, which is not good. Like, you know, not good for him, but not good for the Cowboys. You know, considering considering they signed him.
And look, he's been a terrier.
Best game. It's his best game.
Oh yeah, for sure. But he's been a terrier there. Like, you know, he's definitely an undersized halfback. Most teams run a lot of traffic at him. And, you know, to his credit, he's not really a defensive liability, through the middle. It's only his goal line defense that lets him down a bit. But that's the story of North Queensland's season. Their edge defense, both edges have been disgraceful all year. Nothing really changed, you know, with this. It's the Cowboys making mistakes and them being punished in the harshest way with points. You know, we had a Francis Molo drop ball, you know, in advantageous position for Brisbane. They score. They had a Cohen Hess drop. I think it was for Stags' first try, and they get punished. So it's just the way that it's gone this season for North Queensland. They've got to put a prize on holding the ball and getting themselves an even share of possession.
Yeah, no, and that's how it sort of played out. Really, they at the start, I didn't check sort of the possession at the start, but at the start it was pretty even. I sort of thought,
it was even, but towards the back end of the half, the Cowboys were starting to get a lot of possession. And they couldn't capitalize and Brisbane's goal line defense has really started to tighten up over the last couple of weeks.
That Brady Croft try was a bit of a killer on that 34 minutes. I sort of thought of the gate. Cause like you said, they had that possession towards the end in that sort of back 15 minutes even. And then that, you know, it was a little bit of a slick sort of move, Brady Croft try. I think that was sort of. I don't think it was a turning point, but that was a killer for him going into the half at least.
For sure. Like you can't sort of let teams score, you know, that 5 minutes or so before half time, especially when you've started to, you know, to scratch and claw your way back into the game. And I guess we sort of, you know, we had a call that to me is an absolute game changer and a game killer. Kyle Feld had scored, you know, 57th minute, really gets North Queensland back into it, at 22-16.
Yeah.
And, 22-18. Sorry, 22-18. And it basically, as you watch and that they come down again, it's like 17 minutes to go. So it's like the 63rd minute. The Cowboys are really starting to get on top. And starting to take advantage of the possession that they've had, and Kyle Feld scores another try, fairly close to the sticks. Now, if you watch these on Fox Sports instead of Channel 9, and I'm not 100% sure what happens on Channel 9 because I just refuse to watch football on Channel 9. Down the bottom right-hand side of the screen, when a try is confirmed, It comes up down the bottom with a nice little sponsor of Kentucky Fried Chicken, but it'll come up down the bottom as try confirmed.
There. Correct.
This try came up down the bottom of the screen as try confirmed.
Correct.
So who presses that button? Is it the bunker? And then all of a sudden, the referee goes, oh, no, hang on a minute. We want to have a look. And it's like, okay, let's have a look. You don't see fingertip separation. He still has fingertips on the ball as the ball is grounded. Yet, they say straight up, flatly, Kyle Feld has lost possession of the ball. Therefore, it's no try. We have a decision. And that is just, that is a disgraceful call. Disgraceful. I've seen them give tries that are a hell of a lot worse than that, that have got less downward pressure in that. I have no idea what crack they were smoking in that bunker on that call. That is, that's a game killer. It's a game changer.
It makes it
28-22 with a kick to come, possibly 28-24 with the Cowboys coming home with a wet sail. And it's a total game killer.
I agree. It should have been a try. I don't like the whole, this is the whole thing with that. Like you said, try, no try. It really doesn't matter what you pressed anymore because they still.
But it's come up at the bottom of the screen that the try has been confirmed.
Correct. And we don't know if it's from Fox 4 to the bunker. But what I'm getting at is even if it's try confirmed, the referee can still go that 5 or 10 minutes before they kick and then let the bunker check. It doesn't matter.
No, it's not. That's the point. The referee will either blow a try or he will blow time off and he will say, I have no try and get the bunker to look at it. As soon as he blows the try for that part, you know, for that point in the game, it is a try. The bunker will have a quick squiz at it and to make sure that the referee has made the right call. And then there must be something that they have in the bunker to hit, for it comes up on the screen that a try is confirmed. It had down the bottom of the screen that a try is confirmed. And maybe 4 or 5 seconds later, after that, the referee had called time off and said, we want to check it. And it's like, well, why has somebody hit the button to say try confirmed? I don't understand.
I know, I agree. I hate that aftermath of it. They blow a try and they go, hold up, we'll have a look at it. I hate that.
But it takes them too long.
Correct. Good. Correct.
It takes them way too long.
You're right. I thought Kyle Feld had enough fingertips, enough hand on the ball to score that try, and he did. I thought it was.
Of course,
fine.
It was.
That's absolutely.
And that's not looking at it through the prism of a Cowboys Cowboys supporter or not. I mean, I don't know what crack they were smoking.
Well, I don't know if they
did. There was clear glass barbecue in that bunker. Clear glass barbecue. That's ridiculous.
Well, it was a turning point, clearly, because like you said,
it's a game killer.
A possible 28-24, and then they did. If you were like a pick the score man, which I don't know many people that are, that 1 point killer by, you know, Tyson Gamble. God, I hate when they do that. There was literally no need to do that.
No.
They were like, what, 8 points out in front anyway. Like, that's, it's like he had a multi on and he needed that 1 point
that's right.
to get over. Just, I don't know. It's just such a killer. But, you know, look, still good win for the Broncos. I thought yous were fine. Like, honestly, you're right. Except for that sort of non-call, I thought yous were well in that game. I thought I thought yous were well in that to at least sort of win that game.
Another story for the Cowboys season. Once Correct. Again, just letting an opposition get too far in front and having to get your way back into the game and making it too difficult on yourself. Look, I guess just to sort of finish that off too, Katoni Staggs has sort of done, an MCL in his knee and that's him done for the season. So that's not terrific news, for the Broncos and especially for the Broncos in the future because that's two That's too kind of, and this, who's to say that this is going to be anything more than just a precautionary thing, and it doesn't look like it's going to be anything too bad for Katoni, but you know, him with the Achilles injury last year, and now this, the signs don't look good. Not to say that he's not going to be able to have a good first grade career, but to sort of have back to back injuries like this, he's only been back for 5 or 6 weeks, is not terrific. But you know, the Broncos sort of putting distance between them and the Bulldogs. So I guess that's all that, you know, Kev, and as I mean, they're defensively, they're looking a lot better and showing a bit more resolve than what they have earlier in the year.
Yeah, just before we move on, that Katoni Staggs injury, I don't know, you're right, he's just one of those injury prone players, and we'll just have to wait and sort of see how he comes back from this injury. But obviously when he's not injured, he's Moroni's material has those beautiful flashes, but
no, that's right. And he is. He himself is a game changer, but you know, and he's a match winner. But it's you know, your best ability is availability, and if you're not there to help your team out, then
oh god,
it doesn't look good.
God, Adam Reynolds is going to be such a good thing for that side. That's he's going to be so good. Like
I think so.
I think he'll just yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be the match winner. I just think it'll be such a good thing for that side. At least to go forward and sort of game management.
No, well, that's right. He's one of the better game managers out there, and he brings stability in your halves.
Yeah. Next game was your Knights getting over the Raiders. Your Knights as in, you know, one of your hard teams, 34-24.
Look, they were super,
oh my God,
super aggressive in this game. Super aggressive. And especially down that left edge, Ponga, Bradman Best is back. And he was at his best, after being out for the past, seven, 8 weeks. And he come back and he didn't look like he missed a beat.
No. Well, and the,
he's a nugget, man. He's a nugget.
I like him. No, he was on that fringe, New South Wales last year. So he's a very good player. And clearly, Anari Tuala, was a breadwinner from it as well, getting three boppers in that. So
exactly.
But their team, oh my God,
this is what they look like when they can put it on. And the scoreline.
This is the team I like. I like this team.
Nice, that's right.
I like this team. I'm still not obviously sold on Phoenix Costlin, but Jay Clifford did enough in this game to sort of, steer the ship, so to speak.
No, that's right. And they really sort of gave the keys a little bit over to sort of Clifford and to a lesser extent Kalen Ponga as the chief sort of playmakers and Phoenix Crossland just sort of, I thought he sort of sat on the fences a little bit, and not getting a whole lot involved in the kicking game a lot. That playmaking ability was sort of put on the shoulders of Ponga and Clifford in this game. It bared fruit. Like, they just,
right.
Every time they went down, they left that left edge. They pretty much found gold.
Well, both Ponga and Bradman Best, both of them had, just to set up at least four of those tries, both of them had two line breaks on that left.
That's
edge.
Right. Yeah.
It was
yeah.
Awesome. It was absolutely awesome. But like you said, that's Bradman Best. That's this team. I don't know what's going on with Mitchell Pearce for next year, but this is a team. Like, they've got Gay Guy coming in. It's just only going to be better. I don't know what they're going to do sort of in the halves, but this is the team that I believe the Knights can be. This is a top eight side.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. This is what they can be on their best day, but consistency is key, and They've just been wildly inconsistent. The same as last year. Like, we said it last year that they have to shorten the distance between their best and their worst. And while it's getting a little bit better this year, they're still wildly inconsistent. And the scoreline to me wasn't extremely flattering I thought, for how Newcastle sort of really controlled this game and how dominant they were. You know, a couple of sort of cheap tries towards the end of the game by the Raiders. Look, Jordan Rapinoe was massive in this game. He got through some work. He had 18 hit ups and 141 meters in the first half.
Because he was the only one, honestly, he was the only one running in that side. No one.
It was unreal.
No one did some decent meters in that side. You know, no Papa, I have to say it properly, Papa Lee. Jack White was terrible in that game, to be completely honest.
But their forwards, they just lacked, they had no punch at all.
It's funny we said last couple of weeks that 2 weeks ago, Rapinoe was, we didn't know how he was going to go at fullback.
But well, an odd choice at fullback, but you know, he's really put his hand up for a lot of work and, you know, you hope that the workload sort of doesn't tell its toll. Come to the end of the season as we start to get towards the finals but look, he's not without effort.
Honestly, I didn't think, we said this last 2 weeks, but I didn't think it would suit him. But in the last two games, he's been good.
He's been their best player.
He's been their best player, which tells you just their season as a whole.
This is basically their fourth choice fullback.
I'm not that I'm disappointed in Jack Wynne, but you know, to go where you were from last year to this year, I don't. Either he's got a lingering injury, or he's just regressed that bad. I don't know.
Oh, it's whether or not it's a regression or it's like a Michael Morgan of 2017, where the expectation and the form was so sublime that. It's nearly impossible for you to replicate that again. Yeah, he just had one of those hot runs of form and it just doesn't look like Jarryd Hayne. It was 2009 when they made that run to the grand final. It's just one of those outlying things that you're in. It's like Tom Trbojevic right now. He is just in red hot form.
Oh my
and
God.
Just cannot be stopped.
No, he cannot be stopped. And segue into the next game. Melbourne beating the Panthers 37-10, you know, about a team that can't be stopped. Like, just, it's just, they made, you know, yes, there were players out yet, but they weren't under strength, Penrith. They weren't under strength. At all, I thought, but well,
yeah, I mean, they kind of were, you know, when you don't have James Fisher-Harris, when you don't have Brian To'o, when you don't have Nathan Cleary, they're very undermanned.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, except for the obvious, I was going to say Cleary, but when you threw in Fisher-Harris and To'o, that sort of makes sense. So correct, but
and they missed their go forward dearly because To'o makes the hard runs. You know, off his own try line, and they're trying to get out of trouble. And Fisher-Harris has been one of the better props all year.
They probably missed like about 30 or 40 decent sort of carries in that game.
No, that's right. Him and Moses Leota have been huge up front for Penrith all year, and for them to be missing you know, Fisher-Harris for the next month or so is a little bit of momentum killer.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, especially. I mean, for them to get the most, you know, the most run meters of Dylan Edwards just under 200. That's, you know, Brian To'o does 200 just, you know, in 60 minutes. Like it's.
That's right. He doesn't even sleep.
He doesn't sleep. But God, Melbourne was that first half. They were so sleek. 18-0 in that first half. They just.
You say it all too often. It's clinical.
Clinical. I know. I hate saying it, but what else can you say? It's clinical.
But that's what it is. It's clinical. It's classy. They just dissect you, and it's unbelievable the way they play. And this game again, I don't think the scoreline reflects how dominant Melbourne were. Once again, you know, letting two sneaky tries sort of, you know, sneak through past the keeper. In the last 10 minutes, to put 10 points on the board for Penrith to put the tiniest little bit of respectability into the score line, but just total and utter dominance.
I guarantee Bellamy hated those last two tries.
Oh, my God. I would have loved to have just seen the camera just on him for the last 10 minutes. Because, yeah, exactly. He may have let the first one pass, but, you know, for Sorensen to score, you know, basically, you know, with only a couple of minutes to go, there would have been steam coming out his ears.
100%.
And lots of spit coming out of his mouth.
On the back of a...
would have been able to see the spit if he was wearing a mask on, I'm not sure. See, and that's the thing with him. If he's got a mask on up in the coach's box, then the animation up there, it's you may as well not even put a camera on him anymore. It's worthless.
Yeah, there's no facial expression.
No, it's not. It's worthless. You don't see spit flying against the window or anything. It's just, it's poor television.
He might be happy, though, when he signed that nice, beautiful five-year, very, very... Well, obviously, money-wise, very good contract, but also very adaptable contract.
No, that's right. And they've wrapped up Pappenhausen long term as well.
Who can kick? I'm glad we've got a kicker instead of Nico Hines, because Munster's terrible. But Pappenhausen,
you don't want Munster to be your long term kicker.
No, I don't want. We were losing Nico Hines, but. Pappenhausen was kicking towards the end. It was great.
No, that's right. He's getting more and more involved, which is a good thing. You know, they obviously started the game with Nico Hines, and then he sort of got benched, and Pappenhausen basically just assumed the role of fullback. And it'll be interesting to sort of wait and see how long Pappenhausen is coming off the bench, or whether or not they start to bring him in to that starting side, and then go back to how they were at the start of the year with Nico Hines as their utility player.
I don't know. I mean, you got to have him. Just yes, he's there, not there next year, but you got to have him both.
Oh no, you absolutely need him there.
But you and the amount of minutes that they both do, I think you need that. At least to win this premiership, I think
he needs to be playing football. He needs to be playing more than a utility that might only come on for 20, 25 minutes. He needs to be playing more football than that.
Correct. And look, Melbourne. We'll move on to the next game, but I don't think anyone's going to catch them to first place, are they? I'm pretty sure.
No, I think they've got the minor premiership sewn up.
So, next game was, you know, just a team, I guess, that, you know, except for the Eels that are going the wrong way at the end of the season, the Rabbitohs are going the absolute, you know, up and up at the end of the season. They beat the Dragons 50-14.
Yeah, look, and we talk about...
My God.
No, that's right. And, yeah, we talk about the previous sort of, you know, two games in this game. Yeah, these games were moved from Saturday to Sunday, just with all the chaos that happened in Brisbane on the Saturday afternoon. I arose in the afternoon being prepared for night shift, hoping to catch a glimpse of some 3 o'clock in the afternoon football, and proceeded to turn on the TV, and there's like replays of the Cowboys and the Broncos from the night before. So, yes, scrolling through the internet to find out what in the blue hell is going on. And we find out that, that basically Brisbane has just gone absolutely apeshit. And they've had to extend their lockdown. And it was unbelievable. It's just like, I don't understand why they're not so much cancelling, but why they had to postpone these games, because nobody is going to them. So, What is the point of putting this scare through everybody, and, you know, as a sports fan, as an NRL fan, to go, this could be trouble, right? You know, if they're going to do this, I don't understand. If I was Peter Volandis, I would have been like, what in the hell are you doing to our competition? There's nobody going to these games. There's no danger to the public. There's no danger to the players. So why are you suspending our competition?
Of what I read is, obviously there were players going to the games on Friday
night. Yeah, players, but they're in their protocols. They're within their own bubble. So it poses no danger to anybody.
But their crowds were going there as well on the Friday and Saturday. The crowds were going there.
All you had to do was just say, "Look, sorry, people, we're not having crowds." The game that was meant to be at Rockhampton, there was people at the ground waiting for. That was the 3 o'clock game that on the Saturday. There were people at the ground waiting. Why couldn't you just play that? Rockhampton is hundreds of kilometres away from Brisbane. I don't understand why they couldn't just go ahead with at least that game and then say to, you know, for the 5:30 and the 7:30 games, just say, look, sorry, everybody, this has happened down here in Brisbane. We're not having crowds.
Oh, you're right. I mean, this is the game that sort of sparked it because this of what I read is not so much that it couldn't have happened in Rocky, is that because it was in Rocky, and because of what was going on, the teams had to be flying back to Brisbane to get into this biosphere, or, you know, it's not a biosphere, but you know what I mean, like a bubble, to get into that bubble, and that's why they had to postpone it, purely because of this game. They could have played this game, but apparently these two teams would have been out for, or at least, you know, quarantined for a while, because they wouldn't be able to go back into Brisbane without being quarantined. Is what I read.
I know that they had the lockdown as I think it was 4 o'clock that afternoon. So I think that was just a really sort of quick snap decision by the Queensland government to just go boom on a weekend, whammo, 4 o'clock, everybody be home, or you know there'll be SWAT teams in the street shooting people. it just seemed so excessive.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the snap lockdown was excessive. I kind of get the postponement. I don't get the full postponement and then pushing the games to Monday and that. They could have done. They did. Look at the friggin', you know, the beautiful tournament they have up there that you went to this year. The Magic Round. They could have put all those games back to back to back. You know,
of course they could have.
11 or 12 o'clock. It's cool weather. They could have played at 11 o'clock in the morning, would have been fine.
No, you know? Of course they could. Yeah, it was unnecessary, I guess, sort of panic, I think, that they sort of put on everybody. I'm talking about the Queensland government, not the NRL.
No, you're right. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, there was unnecessary panic, but, I mean, at least they sort of got through this games. But look, the Rabbitohs were just slick. They're kicking in cylinders at the absolute right time.
Sublime, and that's right. You know, like you said, whilst Parramatta are sort of, you know, plunging down to the deep dark depths, and even though they're still in the top four at the moment, but the Rabbitohs are just going from strength to strength the way that they're playing at the moment, and this is it. You're hitting form at the right time of the year, and this is such a A Wayne Bennett coach side.
Yes.
This is just what happens. Like more often than not, when he's got a good class quality side, he gets them prepared well and he gets them playing good football at the end of the year.
Because what I liked about this win, and even just with, well, this win and that team in particular, is that it wasn't, yeah, okay, there were some standouts, but like every player played good. And I mean every single player from the 1 to 17. That was the glaring thing I noticed. Like you said, just he had the right play. This is a Bennett coach, has the class players in the class positions, and they showed it. I mean, yes, it was against the hapless Dragons that this was their last match, but they had sort of the fill-ins and all that. Yes, it was the last match, so it was a bit of a mishmash of a team. But didn't bother Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs just literally just took it to their throats. Literally.
No, that's right, and that's what you've got to do to this time of year when the bad teams come along. You've got to be swift, and you've got to put them away, and you've got to, you know, assert your dominance and your authority over a team like this. Like they just had zero go forward up front, the Dragons. And yeah, that's a testament to how good, again, yeah, the Rabbitohs defensively were.
You know what I found as a glaring, and I think they just, this is just an easy way of just explaining the way the Dragons team was made up, but there was a glaring stat in there of dummy passes, like literally just, you know, passes, you know, a dummy pass is basically you pretend to throw the ball, keep it to yourself and sort of run. Rabbitohs did 30 dummy passes to 4 dummy passes. That just shows, that's just because, purely just shows that the half of that team was reserve grade and half the team would have honestly probably fell for a dummy purely because
they're not
used to that sort of first grade. And the Rabbitohs would have played it. It's that they went, holy hell, like it just stood out massively. But 30 dummies is just, I don't know, it's just so, such a standout of a stat.
You know, it was everything. It's total meters run. It's post contact meters. They made 13 line breaks to 2. Like they just opened them up at will. Made going forward look easy. They were just slicing them up the middle, slicing them down the edges. It was just one of those games. Like I said, it's that when the bad teams present themselves, they have to dominate, and then they absolutely did that.
Yes, they did. So the last two games were then on the Monday, the Titans beating the Bulldogs 34-6 and played well.
Granted, it's against the Bulldogs and they're on the bottom of the ladder for a reason, but you know, they're there or thereabouts defensively, and they've got one of the better completion rates in the league. So they don't really throw the ball away. When they do have those mistakes. You know, you want to be making mistakes in your attacking half, not when you're coming off your own line. And do you know what I mean? Like there's degrees to, you know, when you make mistakes, and that just seems to be what the Bulldogs are doing. When they make mistakes, they're in poor field position and the opposition makes them pay. And look, the Gold Coast, this game started with nobody really sort of getting any ascendancy, you know, in that first 15 or 20 minutes. Like there was hardly any attack inside, the attacking side's half. It was a really back and forth sort of game. But as soon as the Gold Coast got into, the Bulldogs 20 meters, they score. And that was just the way that this game was going to continue.
It felt like that extra 24 hours, I guess, ruined the rhythm for both teams. Like you said, that first 15 minutes, it was just a feeling out process. And I think because they just, you know, it could have been possibly prime for a Sunday game, and then they had to wait another 24 hours, and your body's not ready for another 24 hours. So,
They would have been getting themselves ready to play on the Sunday afternoon, and it didn't come about.
Like you said, but once they sort of got to that line, you know, 12 minutes in, and then Tino sort of, you know, barrels over for his sort of first try in that sort of game. But, yeah, and then they, well, sort of plateaued. It was towards that sort of, that middle 20 of sort of both sides that I thought the Gold Coast played well. Like, I'd probably even say 15 minutes at the end of the first half and 15 minutes at the start of the second half they played. That was their best football.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, and piled on, you know, piled on plenty piled of points. On points.
Yeah.
Isam Masters was pretty good attacking wise in this game. Made a good. Nobody's questioning how good Isam Masters is in attack. He's just disgraceful defensively. He doesn't make good choices. But he wasn't forced to make bad choices in this game, because you know the way that the Bulldogs attack, like their fifth tackle options. They're so bad. They're so bad. The kicks are either deep enough, but too high.
Yeah.
So there's no contest, or they're not high. The kicks are not high enough and they're too deep. So they don't give their outside backs a chance to get on the front foot and to try and challenge for the ball. So, and that's just, that's a fundamental thing. Yeah. And you know, Kyle Flanagan, He was back again this week, partnering Avarillo in the halves. And, you know, I said it last week, you know, how many shots do they, I don't care about them. They signed Flanagan, you know, as a, you know, we seen what he did at the Roosters with a good team behind him. He's obviously been, you know, very, very below that standard. But Avarillo, he's diabolical.
Yeah, I don't get the...
How many more chances do they want to keep giving him? But they keep picking him, and they keep dumping, which they've done again this week. They've dumped Kyle Flanagan. If you don't want him, get rid of him then. Shop him around. They signed him on a 3-year deal. Like, just... If you don't want to admit you've made a mistake in signing him, but next year when they've actually got good players and everything coming through, I bet you they'll be like, oh yeah, Kyle Flanagan, he's our number 7.
I don't think he'll be
just
there.
Just leave him there. He's not going to get any better by, especially now when there's no reserve grade being played for the New South Wales Cup. He's not getting any better just by running around at training and then sitting his ass on the bench, you know, moping because he's been dropped again.
I don't get what they're seeing, Jake Avarillo.
I see nothing.
But you even
a bit of speed, and footwork. What we do?
You even hear it in the commentators. They talk him up a little bit. That's what I mean. I don't get it. I don't know what they see. I don't get it.
No, I don't get it. And they've got better football eyes and brains than what we do. But we watch football every week as well. And I just don't see. I don't see the fascination with it.
I don't see it at all. Yeah, I agree.
As a first-grade player, I'm sure he's a terrific football player, but we're talking about consistent first-grade football, and he just doesn't look like he's got that in him.
The final game was, I think you mentioned earlier, Manly took trouncing the Sharks 40-22. You mentioned earlier in terms of Tom Drouet, but it's goddamn. Like, I don't see it. I know he's missed a few games at the start, but I will be absolutely shocked if he isn't Dally M Player of the Year. Absolutely shocked.
He's going to be there or thereabouts.
I don't know if he's missed too many games, but he's just sublime form, like as an understatement.
He will be getting Dally M points every week.
Every week, and there will be three, maybe two, some of them, but most of the time there'll be three. So he didn't even play the full game and he got three tries in this game.
That's right.
And a couple of line breaks and four line break assists, three try assists. He's a stats machine. If you haven't been in your fantasy squad, you'd be laughing.
Yeah, exactly. And he is the most experienced. He's overtaking. You know, I'm in the Supercoach one, and he's overtaken Nathan Cleary as the most expensive player in the league. So he averages like 114 points, like fantasy wise. It's ridiculous.
114, my God,
it's ridiculous.
That is absolutely, and you know, he only got 227 meters, so it, you know, really is paltry. But it's everything else he did in that game. It was everything else. Look, Manly again. Typical team, typical, again, I guess probably Daly Cherry Evans team, that if they get a run on, they play behind confidence.
They're hard to stop. That's right.
Yeah, they play behind confidence. And you're right. Exactly.
They were relentless down that right-hand side attack. Especially in that first half. They just bombed and bombed and bombed down that. That Jason Saab try, where he sort of, I think it was his second try where it looked like he was in the field of play, not in the field of play. He's upside down. He's just grounding the ball. It was unbelievable. And that first try that he scored off of, was it second tackle? Was it straight up off the scrum? And Cherry Evans kicks it for him. And it's just like, nobody's catching him. Nobody's catching him.
Yeah. I think
it was unreal.
Yeah, it was absolutely unreal.
That's just pure, unadulterated speed.
Yeah. The Sharks, like, you know, to give them credit, they held in there in that sort of first half at least. That, I think it was the second game in a row, hasn't been too bad. That young Braden Trindle, he's not bad. Yeah.
I like him a lot.
He could be, I don't know what they're Haas pairing or what they're sort of lining up for next year, but he's only a 22-year-old sort of kid, so he might be in that sort of there or thereabouts for that team.
The Sharkies, he'll be very heavily considered as being one of their first choice half options when Fitzgibbon comes in next year.
Well, I mean, they're not keeping
Moylan. He's a genuine contender for it.
They've lost Sean Johnson. They're not keeping Moylan. I mean, it just depends what happens with Nico Hines and Will Kennedy, if Will Kennedy stays a fullback. Well, I don't know. I don't know what happens there personally. But
no, that's a lot of people are sort of saying that Hines may sort of slip into the halves and you know, whatever sort of, you know, halves combination they want to go with. But, that's obviously for Craig Fitzgibbon to sort out. But this, Cronulla in this game, you know, they really sort of grinded their way back in, you know, especially like the first try that came across with Will Kennedy. You know, I thought it was very advantageous. He scored like three or four tackles after what was, yeah, blown by the referee as a forward pass. But the more you look at it and the more replays you see, was 100% not a forward pass. So they were sort of gifted their way back into this game. And, you know, for them to only be down six at the half, you know, with Trindle scoring right on halftime, basically, you wouldn't think Desi would have been too impressed going into the half, conceding that sort of try and sort of knocking any momentum that they'd sort of had, that they'd built, you know, especially in that first 20 minutes, Manly. But, you know, they just came out and just, like, Trbojevic just had an all-time 20 minutes.
He came out. I was going to say, they came out. You said they came out, but he came
out.
He
came out. Yeah, that's right, yeah. It was 13 versus 1.
It really was. Oh my God. He just, both those tries, he made it look very easy. He's an amazing player. He's well worth what he's getting paid, obviously. So,
yeah, no, that's right.
And, you know, again, they're another team coming sort of good towards the end of the year, you know, and then sort of sneaking around that sort of, they're pretty entrenched in that top eight, but at least sneaking around as a contender, but at least a team that can disrupt the big teams.
Red hot form. And that's what it comes down to, playing your best football when it matters most. And that's this time of the year. And that's come finals. Look, this game, towards the end of it, got extremely niggly, to say the least. Yeah. With the hit that Chambers put on Dylan Walker and just gave him an absolute gobful for the next three sets of six. He just would not let it rest. And it got him in trouble and it got him the hook.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. No, it was very niggly towards the end there. I thought end up being a little bit anticlimactic, but I thought it would really sort of blow up the way it was sort of.
Look, I think the officials did well to sort of simmer things down and control it. Like, you know, Toby Rudolph sort of got a little bit pissed off towards the end of it. You know, he gave away a penalty after just a blatant flop on Will Kennedy, trying to sort of keep him down. Not on Tom Trbojevic, it's not on Will Kennedy. He got up and sort of had a few words, and I think it was Ruben Garrick that sort of got into his face a little bit, and you know, as he sort of gets a little bit close, and it's basically, do you want a piece of me? And he sort of throws his head at him a little bit, and he gets binned for that as weak a headbutt as it was, but you can't be doing that sort of stuff and deserved his 10 minutes in the bin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it sort of come across like that. Like,
well, and then whatever. That's the thing, but as in the final 10 minutes as well, and then Taniela Paseka, as blatant as a trip as you'll see, you could see him lining him up, and then he sticks his boot out to trip him. I'm just trying to think, I think it might have even been Trindle sort of getting through the line. He just sticks the boot out and just blatantly trips him, and it's just like, he's going into the bin too. And sure enough, 10 minutes in the bin for him, and he could be looking at a suspension for that. Because that's as a blatant a trip as I've ever seen.
I haven't seen a trip, like, tripping penalty for a very long time. You're right, that was extremely blatant. It's very, very blatant. I haven't seen that for a very long time. He will get time for that. He'll have to. I don't like the tripping for obvious reasons. But,
that's just not part of the game.
No. I totally agree. Good win by Manly. Where are they sort of sitting now? So they're sitting six, yeah. They're literally 6 points. No, 8 points in front of the Titans. So I think that's pretty much your top sort of six sort of side up there. God, that's a big difference in points, really.
Yeah, as you get to the bottom two, in that top eight, eight point differential. So,
points. It's between 7th and 11th, they're all on 18 points.
So yeah, that's right.
That's going to be a nice little run. Your Titans, Sharks, Raiders, Dragons, Knights. So Knights have a sneaky chance of getting in there, possibly. And look, even Raiders. Titans have to really hang on. Really hang on.
No, and the thing that's working well for the Gold Coast is that for and against. So, and obviously what's working against Newcastle. So, you know, they've been on the back end of a few shellackings this year. So that's sort of, that's hurting them, come the time of the season where they need to be putting on good performances and just going by this, as we're five rounds to go, after this round, then for and against it all comes into it.
Yeah. Well, the Titans have got the Cowboys this week, so that'll be very interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, that's true. Another Queensland derby, so to speak, and especially recently, the Cowboys have sort of had the wood on the Gold Coast. This is a different Gold Coast side, and if they start to get into any sort of form, if they can stay entrenched in the eight, I don't think they're going to worry a lot of teams, but this will be a boost for the club, for them to make the finals for the first time in a few years.
It's kind of hard too, because they, the Cowboys will want to get that sort of win off their back too. So it's kind of hard how that's sort of going to play out, I guess. But
exactly.
Well, I kind of mentioned both of mine, but the start of the week, at least for me, was just Tom Dravoy boots, because the man.
I mean, you can't go past it. Like, what do you do? Like, he's having just one of these seasons where it's just you think how. How can he top this? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, is this sort of form? Is this the play that he is? Is this the sort of form that he's going to continue to have? It's just, it's out of this world.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It really is. You can't go past him. I mentioned my dud. I mentioned right at the start. My dud of the week was running out of beer in the first 20 minutes.
Oh, my God. I was gonna say exactly the same thing as soon as you messaged me that. What in the hell is going on there?
So I talked to them after when they got some back. And I said, what happened? They said, well, yes, we sold 5,000 tickets, but we only anticipated 2,000 to 3,000 people.
Whoever did the beer ordering or the alcohol ordering at BB Print Stadium there in Mackay needs to be fired immediately.
So that's the thing. Most of the ones that they did, like, and this is a good thing. Don't get me wrong, this is a good thing. But most of the little things of, like, security, tickets, the beer, was all done by, like, clubs. So, like, a footy club, the basketball club were doing the alcohol, and clearly they didn't have enough.
Like, yeah, clearly they didn't have enough.
20 minutes, like, come on. Anyway, that was just...
But I guess, just a quick trip to old Uncle Dan's and you can sort everything out.
You should have seen them all getting all unloaded. Oh, there was a cheer in that game. There was a bigger cheer in that bit instead of the actual game. So, oh, it was hilarious. I love it. That was your dub too.
Oh my god, I wrote that down straight away. So I don't care who. Somebody could have had like the worst performance ever on the field. That there is a true dud of the week.
Because it went from, and the thing is, it went from, all we can do is JD and Rum. They said that out loud. And then when you got to the line, there was only Rum. So I then turned around. I wasn't having Rum.
Oh, no, yeah, I would have been out of there after that. Would have been
15, 20 minutes, that's ridiculous.
that is way too long during a football game.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
People get thirsty real quick watching football. I don't think people know that.
Yeah, clearly they don't. And that's the thing, clearly they didn't think about. Like, it's a Thursday night. Not many kids are going to go, so there's going to be a lot of adults there.
Yeah, that's right. So, adults have adult beverages.
And there were so many, like, car parks empty too, which, again, man, people were drinking. So, it was hilarious.
That's right. Public transport is the way to go.
Just a little bit of trivia to finish on. If you had to say right now, just it's interesting where this sort of falls. Who do you reckon's got the most membership numbers for the 2021 season?
Membership numbers. Broncos would have to be up there, but that seems a little too obvious.
You're right, and both counts of what you just said then.
Maybe a team like Souths or Newcastle, maybe?
Souths are second, and Newcastle are well behind.
Oh, wow.
The team is Parramatta.
Oh, yeah, all right.
32,251 members. So, yeah, that's what I sort of thought as well. I found that very
interesting. Yeah, all right. That's a bit out of left field.
Yeah, it was very out of left field. I mean, it's interesting enough, the Broncos, the Raiders, and the Melbourne Storm are all in that mid sort of 20s. So,
I think the Cowboys are about 20,000, 19 to 20,000. No, not this year.
17,390. It's not sort of too bad. I mean, the languishing ones are Warriors, which you can't sort of. It's a bit hard for them.
Oh, what the hell are you meant to do with that?
Yeah, it's a bit hard. You know, the languishing one, the one of the worst ones is Manly, 12,000. Personally, for the way they go, very surprised with that. But anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that thought I'd finish on a little bit of trivia. Just to finish our round 20 of our NRL pod. Don't forget, obviously, our socials, as always, is Final Play Podcast, is where you'll find Facebook. Twitter's at Final Play Pod. I noticed just with Twitter that it's a lot more, because I've been playing on it lately, it's a lot more accessible to get the links. Extremely easy compared to Facebook for some reason. Yes, you can get it on both, but it just seems to go there. It's excessively easy. I don't know why, but it just seems to. So check Twitter out if you're into Twitter. That is, like, depends on the person. Not everybody's into Twitter, but I know personally Twitter, at least with Twitter, you'll get more, especially breaking news,
Oh, yeah.
On Twitter than you will on Facebook or any other site. It's ridiculous. Especially NBA and NFL.
Oh, like, yeah. Your American stuff, it depends on who you follow on there as well. If you actually follow the league or if you follow the newsbreakers themselves, you know, whether it's Adam Schefter with the NFL or, you know, the NBA, whether it's, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski or Shams, he's coming for everything the Woj has got. He's coming for everything.
Yeah, he wants that. He wants that ESPN contract, I think.
Yeah, that's right. He wants that ESPN paycheck.
I like them both. I mean, I like them both, but I also liked that they I can't remember who messaged it out, but I think it was Donovan Mitchell actually saying he didn't want to see who was going to get drafted before the actual draft came out. I hate seeing that.
Oh, yeah, it is what it is. That's just what it is. The age of instant news.
Correct. That's what it is. As always, you'll also get our pods on ginko.com.au. That's Eureka Sports Cards. I'm sure that's ramping up NFL, getting sort of into that sort of pre-season action pretty close to, at least.
Yeah, that's right. Look, the NFL season's the preseason is going to be starting up fairly soon in September. So, you know, we'll be getting into some NFL action, you know, fairly soon, which is going to be great. It just means we're going to have some very early mornings again, to get up and watch the NFL. But yeah, it's, I mean, that yeah, Dom and Mojo King always do a great job. You know, with the running of the, yeah, the popular breaks on, and Dan as well. Dan Raines does some of the NBA stuff as well. And the NRL. So, you know, they've got sports for everybody. I think they're pretty sure they've got, I think Dom's listed a Major League Baseball, break up there at the moment. And I think they've been dabbling in a little bit of ice hockey as well. So, yeah, there's stuff out there for everybody. Yeah, obviously the main ones there are the AFL. That's fairly big because they're based in Victoria. So, you know, I'm pretty sure they have like AFL select breaks like every day. So it's just, it's insane. But you know, obviously we have weekly with NBA Friday and a lot of times they've got, NBA Sundays as well. And then once the NFL season starts to ramp up, then usually there's a weekly, NFL break as well. So, I will be, extremely poor throughout the NFL season. So, and usually with not a whole lot to show for it, but you know, always like to show support for them and you got to be in it to win it.
Yeah. It's like gambling at the end of the day, isn't it?
Well, exactly. That's right. It is exactly like gambling. It's the lottery. It's gambling not at its peak, but it's least at the end of the day, you get something tangible. You get something physical that you can hold in your hand, you know, when it comes in the mail. So, yeah, that's always the element that I sort of always like about it. But, yeah, I love going in breaks. I very rarely get to watch them live. You know, I generally watch them on a replay on YouTube. But, yeah, they're always the best value, for your card breaks.
Yeah, definitely. Well, nice sort of sign off. I guess. Oh, it's obviously just good for us to have another platform, obviously, to have our podcast as well. I mean,
no, absolutely, and then there's always the new listeners on there as well. You know, yeah. It's forever growing as I sort of go through as an admin, you know, on Gimco on the website. So you know, there's always new listeners, and even our past podcasts from months ago get new hits all the time. So. You know, keep it up. You know, we love getting that. You know, if you want to get in contact with us, you know, you can check us out on the Facebook page and everything of that. Like you said, it's each to their own. If you want to like and share, check us out on Spotify as well. You know, that's generally the best way to sort of get to us as well. We're on SoundCloud, so you can give us a follow on there as well. So, you know, that's the best way to sort of, you know, check us out all the time or with all the latest stuff that we've got.
Yep. Well, that'll do me for the week. My name's Jason. Yes. Look, just keep following Gimco. I had a nice one at the start. I remember what you said at the start, but I've completely lost it.
You've totally forgotten it, but I haven't forgotten it. I'm Miles Glass Barbecue Plum.
That's the one I was thinking of. Glass Barbecue. I knew you remember. Glass Barbecue. Oh, damn it. Yeah, that's
I can remember that because I haven't been on the Glass Barbecue before. So it's,
Yes, you have.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, just, yeah, just got to go fish my crack pipe out of the car. So, you know, it's,
Glass Barbecue, that's hilarious. I haven't heard that for a very long time. Have a good week.
It's definitely an underused phrase.
Oh, it's definitely an underutilized phrase. See ya.
See ya.